Okay, good. The parsha is Noach, and the first piece we're going to look at is on page 84, Torah ben Abachaya, at the bottom. He says, "Zekal God lechol balechaim shenivay samayim roisken v'yimachem in haaretz." All the animals that became extinct, nimchum in haaretz, they became physically extinct. Ukoychosim in hashamayim, and their ruchnis tekeshorish became extinct. You know that all of the kohos above have some sort of proxy, let's call it, down in our world. It doesn't mean they actually got destroyed. They stopped their shoots from growing in this world. And they also couldn't get the hashpah that comes generically to the Bria. The kiv shefa, and being all types of drawing on, let's call it nourishment for a better word, from the spiritual elyonim, lo nishas an amabul mishum kosh shavolim shefa ki mekavim talabat. The only thing that remained during the mabul was just a generic hashpah that the world would be afterwards. But in a specific way, all animals died, and so on and so forth. I want to talk about two implications of Rabbeinu Bechaya, and it's kind of, let's put it this way, what's the word to say? It is mystical, it's dealing with concepts that are above us a bit, but I do want to speak about two ramifications. One of the things that we find in the structure of nature is the interdependency of the entire Bria. Now that ecology has become a very, very important study, you keep getting more and more stories of how one specific element of an ecology had been affected, and it destroyed everything. So there was an island where they got rid of X bug, X mosquito, and the whole thing turned topsy-turvy because that used to feed this, and it used to feed something else, used to take out something else, and so on and so forth. We can ask ourselves, during the Mabul, many species became extinct. What happened? And the answer is, once their roots are no longer producing our world, so to speak, the world doesn't need it. In other words, the way we look at it, certainly from the Kabbalah perspective, is that the various kohos and elyonim need to express themselves in tachtonim, and therefore you can't eliminate one without affecting the other, because each species has a deeper reason for existing. Once a Kadosh Baruch Hu cuts it off from the root, then it doesn't need that anymore in a sense. The world can regroup itself into another formation. It all depends on the shorish it's coming from. That's one point. A second point that's sort of being hinted at, and I think is very important, is one of the ways of dealing with many of the scientific issues with the Torah and its history of the world is dating and many things like that, that are based on physical phenomena that seem to be immutable for us. For instance, radioactive decay is to us a law of nature. Now, I've read something fascinating quite recently. There is a scientist who discovered, I read in a very mainstream paper, it's not something exotic, that during solar flare-ups, there is a change in radiation emitted by radioactive elements. It's extraordinary. Now, it means there are some massive phenomena that affect these things. In other words, we don't know that radioactive decay is absolute. It's just been our experience like that. but it's been, it's, you know, whenever there are flare-ups, reactive decay changes. And during the Mabul, there was, the Mabul wasn't just water overflowing. There was some fundamental changes in the Bria. When we're talking on a Kabbalah level that El Yonim changed, translated to practical things, it means there were some fundamental changes in the Bria. And those fundamental changes may have affected these things. The Mabul wasn't just a lot of things dying, like a monsoon or a tsunami. It was something at a very deep level in the Bria, and therefore we're sort of at a loss to extrapolate from our phenomena back in time. Okay, the next one is an Akeda that explains about the significance of the story of the Mabul. What was that all about? There's actually three Akedas here. One. Im he yoyshe dias hafechim et hachoykim of sem achasi, im kol zek vor yushlam choydik hamoyfes beshi bochir mishnei hafechok. Hamashol, ki kishenida shayyevis mekabetz chalokim, yivoda eifo shalachos yafridem, ki chuyev sheimoshu meechis hafechis pulos hafechis. So he says the following. Let me give the bigger picture, and then we'll see what he says. The Akedah's point is going to be that the point of the Mabul was to teach us emuna in Briyas HaOlam by looking at the opposite of Briya. For instance, if I say that this room is standing on top of this pillar, it's the same as saying, take the pillar away, the room will no longer stand. I can see I can ascertain this, first of all, by seeing the building standing on just this pillar, and then taking the pillar away and having the building collapse. Briyas HaOlam was through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's one narration. And the second narration is that take away HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashpah, the world comes to ruin. So he starts off by saying it's a given that everything that's a true opposite can be known from one of the two ways. I mean, the most he gives is if dry things, if when things dry, they come together, when you pour a lot of water on them, they dissolve. So knowing one without the other, I logically know that to be true, but it helps a lot when I see both halves. And it says, even though we know theoretically by knowing one end of the equation what the opposite is, omnom kashiyabachin hadova mishneit stadov. But when I actually experience both sides, for Yisula kol sofich yeshuvali mitzeh, that takes away any doubts. Imitzar anoch atzma shem ha'isat le dimilavad, shem ha'ikim imitzar v'etzim d'vemeh. It says there are two reasons why we like to experiment on both sides. One is, maybe I made a mistake. You know, I thought that this is what I saw, the phenomena, but it's not true. And as a second point, and this is a logical point, there are properties of things that are not essential. For instance, imagine if every pencil that I ever saw was yellow. So I feel comfortable making a statement that yellow pencils write. But it's only when I take a piece of wood and I paint it purple and it still writes, as a pencil, that I say to myself, I made a mistake. Because we don't always know if when we're seeing a certain quality of it, it's essential or not. So therefore, he says, seeing something both in its positive and its converse give us the truth of something in a way that, so once we recognize something to be true both in its positive and its negative, then we say yes. It is absolutely true. The Lamadim Torah says, we learn from this that if somebody wants to know the truth of anything, you need to test it on all sides. And it's a very simple, if somebody wants to test the heart medication, well, he wants to see people getting healed, and he wants to see people without medication not getting healed. Because if everybody in the experiment got healed, the people who took medication, who didn't take medication, would be one and the same. So this was why the Mabul is a very, very important story. He says, because we've seen from Isa Bereishis the truth of Akash Baruch Hu in the world and how it's his Dipurim, Dasar Mamaras, are things that brought into being, and we see Akash Baruch Hu's existence and the fact that he brought the world into being with his wisdom, and now he says from this we would understand that if Akash Baruch Hu chooses not to want the world, it would stop from existence. But he says it's still important to have actually witnessed it and at least convey to us what happens when the world doesn't do Ratzon Hashem. So the beginning of Bereishis should make it. Bereishis should make it. Establish in our minds that Akash okay, everything's called Ratzon. But the Mabul really hammers it in by seeing what happens on the opposite. Behine says, Nimshechu Masipu Lefizeh Shnei Talos Gadol. So two important things came as a result of the Mabul. Behein, Hasara Shnei Minei Asav Shachan Shoyne. To take away the two sfeikas that we said before, when you see only the positive, A, you might have made a mistake, your machinery might have been spoiled or whatever, and two, we might have hit on a real phenomena, but maybe it was just kind of incidental. Not essential. So he says, and first of all, being that Bereishis may not be so known, the Mabul is much more known. That's one. He says, Noah was the only human to live through this whole Mabul, and they could relate the story of the Mabul, and they would continue. So basically, in one sense, this is a reaffirmation simply by experiencing it. That would be connected the first issue of maybe we got it wrong. Secondly, Vasheni, next paragraph, La Shlomos Hamofis Mishnei Ktzosov, to really to draw the experiment logically on both sides, because Sif Ma'aseh Bereishis Su Mitzad Machatech Labriya Mamitzias Akim Ashkalim Tzivtivehem. The telling of Ma'aseh Bereishis confirms what happened from the positive side. V'Zeh Sipur Yamseo Mitzad Ahead of Afisa Shasigei, and this story confirms it by seeing the absolute negation of the Bria from when they disregard. It's very interesting. When the Rambam defines in the most basic level, the Rambam Yisrael Torah Aleph, Alach Beis, Gimel, the Rambam defines in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and he defines HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the being that exists and gave the world its existence. And then Ram adds two more details, or two more formulas. After he defines it, he says, and if we were to imagine that the entire world wouldn't exist at all, God would not be affected by it in any way, and were it possible to imagine God's non-existence, then there is no way to imagine the existence of the world. In other words, the Rambam himself in Yesod HaTorah, that's how he defines Hashem. And because defining the negative as well, if A then B, doesn't tell me enough. because maybe if C then B and if D then B, and then if A then B does not tell me that A and B are absolutely tied together. But if I say, and if not A, not B, then I know for sure that A and only A is what brings B into it. For those of you wondering, if you would just have if not A, then not B, then it may be that A wouldn't be either. It's not doesn't say yet anything. But when I make the two statements, if A, then B, and if not A, not B, that means A is the essential cause of B. And it's what they call universal, sufficient, it's absolute.
With Noach, with the first shot where he's talking about Noach and his children and
right.
Noach, if they were Tzadik Bedoro, so to them there was no Safek. They knew
right.
They knew the existence. I mean, wouldn't it have been more you know, if there would have existed a Russia to show this type of
right.
In their times, not
right.
So unless it's just a is it arrived for us, the generations afterwards, and that was for them.
I guess for us it's more of a personal narrative. By Bria's Olam, nobody was around to watch it. So it just Adam Arishan's first impression of the world was God and so on. But the Mabel, they passed through it and now they have a narrative to tell their kids, a personal narrative rather than just an idea. That's what we when we make Kiddush, for instance, we say almost everywhere Kaddish Baruch was referred to as Tzitzich Mitzrayim. And one of the reasons is because Bria's Olam is really not something that we are around to witness. So we may know it to be true and may believe it to be true, but it's nothing we can relate to. Okay. So he says, so the second part is, and that second one is to give over Shena Shams and Mofus to Shneid Sosov, to give both parts of it. V'cholze mashayachzik ha'umos b'leiv ha'uma ha'mekabel zol machuzo v'kol ish misher ki nokel Hashem Shana sidre ma'achas ma'ay lamato v'lachadish oitzim oitzim shayim v'arat ki nishayim shigivim doim v'tzal chizkiyo v'zalsim yisim v'atar al-kiz ki b'zayyato v'yachirichu libom l'ikonar v'arat v'latikos kula tzimara. Because when we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the master of nature, it really puts the fear of him on us. It's one thing if everybody's got to play by the rules of nature, then, you know, I kind of, I'll figure it out. We'll work around it. But if all the laws of nature are bottled in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, it imposes your Shemayim itself. Then he adds a piece here, very interesting piece. V'hine, b'chai niflu'u k'tzas michach misor achayinu b'ze mikol chach ma'am sot ne'am dama. There are some chach misor in later generations that have really done something unusual. She mishtadlim b'chol oiz l'hamir l'kayim shein b'shei ze dvorim. Ashi nichum l'nisim flores asha omu shasam kim dasam ulisom. Vehem mivatlim v'seizim kol yisaidis ha'chochma u'mimanim u'chomoyzim filosofusim u'chomasham dekenegdom v'nei shum dovim pinoy sitoseyem. They try very hard to abrogate all elements, all facts, ideas, concepts that stand in the way of what they choose to believe. I'll explain in a second. Kama yishidua ze mechachma umesu eshmein l'sham bekirba. Like, you know, as do the goyim believe very firmly in, so he says, take a look, he says. The goyim are very firm. Whenever they hear something in science that contradicts their religion, they reject science. V'chachameinu elu, but our chachamim, because of brisim ha-philosophia yivonis, because they've gotten caught up with the Greek philosophy, mishtadlim b'chol oiz levatl nisim v'flores ha-shidat 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 ha to reject the nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. In Persuma Mikdashayim Tzei HaShemayim, even though they are famous, and even though its truth is verified universally. It's the opposite of the Gemara and the Medrash who keep telling us other nisim and flaws. These philosophers, they try very hard to twist the psukim, to destroy the most publicized moivsim. So let's explain a little bit what he's talking about. Spain was a very interesting place. Even though in the general Jewish histories, the golden era of Spain is listed as the golden era, and it was wonderful and great. From a religious point of view, it was a problematic era. Jews had it good there, by and large. I mean, there were periods of time were pretty bad, but by and large, they were acculturated. The Jews also were very affected by the, I don't know if the Greek philosophers as much as the Jewish hanger-ons to the rational approach, quote-unquote, which was that nature could not possibly change. But the Torah is true, they didn't deny that. So they found a natural way of describing things in the Torah. I remember when I was a young boy, there was this joke that was published always, like I must have heard it 2 dozen times, that a kid came home from Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah in those days was the afternoon schools, and you know, many kids, even like kind of Orthodox kids, went to it. And it was before Pesach, says, we learned about the Jews' redemption from Egypt. He said, yeah, what happened? Well, they came to an ocean, and Moses called in the engineers, and they built pontoon bridges, and this, that, whole thing. And he said, really? That's what they told you? So the kid says, Mom, you'd never believe what they told us. This makes sense. The Ralbag, who was a grandson of Ramban. The Ralbag worked very hard at trying to explain the Nisim as mega phenomena of a natural order. In other words, they were unusual phenomena and hashgacha, but they never crossed the laws of nature. The Maral goes to town on him, big time. And a few reasons. First of all, it certainly is not the thrust of the psukim. I mean, it's very hard. You're really, really are pushing it to the limit. One. Two, what's the problem? You know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei HaKol, Mishama L'Shemesh Sheyadlik, Yemei L'Chemetz Sheyadlik. What's the problem? Why can't... It's one thing if you say a person did something, you say, okay, why is that more plausible? What do you mean it's more plausible that Kadosh Baruch Hu made them blind instead of brought Choshev to the world? I mean, how do we apply the word plausible to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Third of all, that the reason why they're saying it is not because they were learning Chumash and they said this sounds like more pshat. It's because there was this influence from the outside, a secular influence, that chose to veer away from it. The Maral really is sharp about it. He's also very sharp about it. That this trying very hard to put in pirushim that will work well with the laws of nature, but don't work well with the psukim, is something that it's not. You know, it came from an alien influence, and it's wrong. And he says that's why. The Mabul needs to be understood as a cataclysm, as something that happened that was incredible. It was something that really, really laws of nature went haywire. And yes, a person should never, never believe laws of nature went haywire, except that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's instituted nature, so then what's the problem believing one or the other? That's what he says. It's interesting because the Akedah was an open safe. You know, he did have his terminology philosophical, and he uses Aristotle as a safer. Aristotle's midos, sefer midos, which is Nicomedean ethics, he uses it as almost a science book. He calls by Aristotle. There's no problem that those things, and there are many that Aristotle got it right. He almost considers it a fact. But the approach to Torah, that Torah needs to be seen with philosophical light because the world only has natural cause and effect. That he says is something that is preposterous. Okay, we'll hold it here, Mr. Shem.